What, you dare me
what,
to make
you,
it about
you dare
feminism?
Me to make it about
because
feminism?
I can make it about
because
feminism.
I can make it about feminism.
You are now listening you to the are Feminist now listening Bar podcast. To the Feminist Bar podcast.
Okay, what is good? What is poppin'? Welcome to the Feminist Bar podcast with your host, Tina Tsuemaka. This is going to be so different because I am recording this outside. I'm going to play this back a little bit later to see how it sounds, but hey, I'm already sitting here. I've already committed. We're just going to have to see how it is. Maybe it'll be nice. I've seen some people do this and the nature sounds sound good. But anyway, what's up? What's good? What's poppin'? In alignment with the consistency that I have been showing and the consistency that I have been trying to show in creating content and keeping this podcast alive and making it more vibrant and intersectional, I am here this morning to record a solo episode. And I've had a lot of things on my mind around maybe things I might want to do, things that are missing. Do you know what? Like, one thing about me, if I want something and it's missing or it's in short supply, I'm going to be like, I'll do it. Kind of like with this podcast. So something that's been on my mind lately has been the Twitter space that I used to do with Anita. And Kay, or Dawn Corley and Feminist, which as some of you may know her, we did a Twitter space for some time, which was about feminist news. So it was like every Sunday or every Monday, just like coming together and exchanging views and news around things that were related to feminism, queer people, or anything that was really impacting women or queer people. Wow. That's nature, I guess. So anyway, I've just been thinking about it and been thinking maybe I'll incorporate some of that news into this podcast, because this week I was just like, what the fuck is going on with feminism? What the fuck is going on with the queers, the gays, the girls? And I couldn't find anything. And all the while, there's so much going on. But anyway, so maybe we'll talk a little bit about some stuff that I have coming up. Talk about some of the stuff I've been seeing in the news. Talk about some stuff that's been going on in my personal life. What have I been reading? Where am I at? You know, this is a retrograde, and yesterday was the blue moon, and today is still like one of the bigger moons, and a lot of energy is going around, a lot of time to manifest, to say goodbye, to, yeah, reassess, recycle, revisit, revitalize, all of that. Anyway. So let's talk about some stuff that we've seen in the news. I don't know if I should talk about it in order of ridiculousness or in order of just like awfulness, but let's just get into it in no particular order. Let's start with what happened at the Women's World Cup. I don't know if it was the Women's World Cup because I'm not really that like into sports, but there's the football chief who kissed that football player. Her name is Jenny Hermoso. So I think his name is Lewis. So she was receiving a trophy or something, and he literally kissed her on the mouth without her consent. Like, his mouth was on her mouth and he was like holding her. And it started off on social media where people were just kind of like, okay, well, this was weird. She looked uncomfortable. It didn't really look like she was into this. Has he done this before? Is this something that happens a lot? And all of that media speculation, which is why I also love calling out, guys. We have to consistently call out. It doesn't matter if it's been called out before. It doesn't matter if other people have already spoken about it. You have to speak about it again and again and again. Like, I will never mind my fucking business, okay? As long as a woman is possibly getting harmed, I'm never going to mind my business. Anyway, so after the media speculation, she actually then was like, no, that was not consensual. And just kind of like the ridiculousness began, because I think he was then asked to like step down or something like that, because of course that is sexual harassment. And if you can do that in public, like, what are you really doing in private, right? Like, ethically, a lot of questions were coming up. And basically, like, misogyny mobilized. misogyny mobilized. Like, people started, like, threatening, like, president of, like, Footballers Association or whatever was like, well, if, you know, you take this guy's job, like, I'm gonna step down. Some people were like, you know what, until you guys stop this attack against him, like, we're just not gonna play. His mom went on, like, a hunger strike. Like, oh my God, like, if you don't stop attacking my son, like, I'm not gonna eat. And, like, this morning I woke up and I looked at my phone and she's been hospitalized. And I was like, I have to make this episode because that's crazy. But also, like, the extent to which, like, misogyny and patriarchy can mobilize against one person. Like, she is facing so much hate. And now, like, being blamed for so many things. And now this abuser's mother is in hospital. Like, yeah, it's your fault. Like, how is that? Literally, how is that her fault? And it's just crazy watching it. Because, you know, we talk about it all the time. And maybe I talk about it so much that I assume that everyone knows. Or, like, as feminists or in this space, we talk about abuse and sexual harassment so often that we think that, like, everyone knows. Everyone knows what it looks like when, you know, victims are being blamed. Everyone knows what, like, rape culture looks like. And then things like this happen and you're like, fuck, nobody knows. Even the Amber Heard thing happened, you're like, fuck, nobody knows. Like, you see it in your own community and you're like, damn, nobody knows. Even the people, the spaces in which you'll expect, you know, that women will get support, they just don't. And that's really fucking sad. So yeah, that's something that's been going on. Let's get into some African shit for real, starting with right here where I am in Harare, Zimbabwe. LOL. So for those of you who don't know, Zimbabwe had its elections on the 23rd of August, and really it was, as usual as it has been for decades, a question of which of the two parties was going to rule. And really, not really, because it's been the same party. So it's just more of a question of, is this election going to be fair? Are people's votes worth anything? Is this going to be done ethically? And just given the extent to which people have experienced corruption in Zimbabwe for decades now, about 45 years, there's not a lot of hope. So there was a lot of, I guess, back and forth about people not voting because they felt as though they can no longer trust the system, and what's the point? And versus people who are like, well, you're letting us down and you're going to be complaining alongside us. So, like, what is the point of, like, not voting? And then there's just us on the side who are like the little voice saying, well, queer people are not going to vote because there's nobody, like, for us. So maybe I'll just start off this opinion piece. Start off this opinion piece by saying that, the right to vote is exactly that, and it also includes the right not to vote. And I think that in democratic society, we all have the right to choose what we want to do with that right and what we want to do with that vote. And sometimes it's personal, sometimes it's personal but related to institutional reasons, sometimes it's a community reason. Sometimes you don't even want to delve deep into what it is. But I think that to an extent should be okay. I understand the patriotism of saying, well, you know, this is something that could get us out, this is something that could save us. But I wasn't looking at the election thinking that it was something that could save us, because from, you know, a queer perspective, I had mentioned this on social media, that even if we woke up tomorrow and we were in a new Zimbabwe, we were in a new dispensation, it's still not going to be for us. And I think that's been made clear in all of the candidates that we've had. So it's not going to be for us. We're not going to reap the benefits. We're not going to enjoy it. Queer people are still going to be heavily displaced, heavily unemployed, economically disenfranchised. And that's just how I felt about it, which is why I felt, you know, that there's really no democratic process for queer people. I mean, the fact that you can go outside presenting as what people think you shouldn't be presenting and all of a sudden face jail time, prejudice, violence, shows you that the place is not for you. And if all of the party candidates have come out to say that, oh, well, you know, we don't support this, or like, we don't like that, and there are parties that are probably and very possibly going to take, like, evangelical money to mobilize against queer people, like Uganda has done, like Nigeria is doing, like Ghana is on the way to doing, then I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to participate in that. And I understand anyone who is in solidarity with me to not participate in that. The fact that gender non-conforming people, non-binary people, our trans siblings can't even show up at the polling station without fear of all of the things that I've mentioned, I think is enough a testament to, you know, queer people exercising their right not to vote and to not be involved. And, you know, I had a lot of backlash on social media, people saying, oh, well, you know, this is the one thing that you are in control of. And I'm like, where? Show me the control. Thank you very much. And then just like outside of that, I think that the mindset, or I don't know if it's a mindset, if it was an argument, if it's whatever, that if you don't vote, then you should not get to reap the benefits of a democratic society. You shouldn't get to benefit from a good economic situation. I think it's kind of fascist. I'm not even kidding. Like, how does that make you any different from the people who are literally like committing like mass genocide through corruption? Because if we all have these different fundamental rights and we have a right to exercise them, you know, how we see fit, of course, to a limited extent, then why should the way that we choose to exercise those rights determine how much like we get to participate in society? Like, I mean, I understand that like voting is participating in society, but there are also other ways to participate in society. So is that to say, like, if you don't want to participate in this way, you're completely banned from participating in another way? I don't know. Anyway, I'm not really a politics girly. I'm a feminist girly. So that was even really the point of me talking about all of this, because, you know, it's happening right now. But anyway, I'm even talking as though the results were not announced. They were. And the ruling party remains in power. I think there have been a couple of reports by like SADC, European Union, a couple of countries about how like it did not meet the standard because there were issues of ballot delays. I think voting ended up being like 2 days just because people were arriving at the poll stations and there were no ballots or whatever. So that's what happened. And lately, past couple of days, like Zimbabweans just been chilling on social media, like really looking at like Gabon, because they have had a military coup d'etat, and yeah, the military is now in power and they've removed the ruling family. And I say family because their president now is the son of their previous president, who ruled for decades, and this one is also planning to rule for decades. And they have amassed so much wealth, all the while like over like 90 something percent of the country is like starving and in poverty. So, you know, there are similarities between that country and Zimbabwe, and I think we've just been looking through the other side like, damn, you wish that was you, huh? Yeah, we do. I think it's just a desperation for change that now we have just started to feel like is not coming, and everybody is just kind of trying to claw their way out, really find haven elsewhere. I know for queer people that was always the plan, but I think even for the people who the society was made for, the straight, the Christian, super righteous, even they are trying to claw themselves out of here, because, you know, a lot of things don't work, and that's unfortunate. So yeah, that's what's happening in Gabon, and that's what was happening in Zimbabwe with, you know, politics. And I will not be surprised to hear testimonies and stories of women facing violence. I know that there's a queer person who was already, unfortunately, the victim of some brutality here in Zim. I don't have all the details, and it's really not my story to share. So that's all I will say about that. And that's just really unfortunate, because you will see that happening a lot during election time. And marginalized or vulnerable communities. And yeah, that's a bummer. But let's move over to Uganda, since we are now talking about the queers. So for those of you who have not already heard, I guess you're going to hear it right now. Elisha Musika is the first person in Uganda to be charged with aggravated homosexuality. So you remember that anti-gay bill that was passed into law? It is now working. So aggravated homosexuality is a charge that can lead to condemnation to death. Literally, they're gonna kill him, hang him, electrocute him, shoot him in the head if he is found guilty. So he's a guy who was on social media and he was calling himself an ex-homosexual who had now been cured by God, and he was going on TV, on radio, talking about how like the gay agenda wants to like recruit children, and he was outing queer people, having them arrested by the police, lobbying for this anti-gay bill, talking to prison, like he was talking to everybody. He was like the sweetheart, like he was like a sweetheart of this bill and championing this. And obviously every time someone talks about being an ex-homosexual who's now been cured by God, they just reinforce like some of that bigotry and that rhetoric that is already like aligning with like homophobia. So he was basically doing that. So he basically was accusing like activists, like queer activists, of infecting him with HIV and like making pornographic films with him or something. And he has now been like arrested with the person that he was having sex with and facing the death penalty. And it's just so interesting. Stella Nyanzi made a thread about this, and she was talking about like he is getting arrested and charged and probably killed by the same act that he was like giving life, like breathing life into it, because he was breathing life into the act. When you attach testimony and stories to things, like you give him life, and that's basically what he was doing. And now he's gonna die, and I can't believe that I'm so sorry for saying he's gonna die. Wow, that was so pessimistic of me. I was getting to a point, which was that it's crazy to see this level of hate institutionalized. This is actually going to court. Like, someone was put in handcuffs and they're going to go through an entire trial. And if they're found guilty, they're literally going to have their life taken away because of their sexuality. And that to me is so crazy. That's so crazy and it's so scary. And I can't imagine what that feels like at 20 years old. You know, he's so young. And he's caused a lot of people harm, a lot of the queer community harm. This has been a direct result of, you know, him telling these stories or him whatever. But, you know, he's just a kid. And, you know, the fact that he was targeted to be the voice of this, right, to champion these hateful campaigns, I think is also just a reflection of like how like powerful and strategic and evil like bigotry can be, because they picked a young person because he was probably more impressionable. So I'm not going to make excuses for him or anything. I'm just not comfortable with judging him entirely too harshly. And if anything, like all of this, and including the charge now and the charge to the person that he was sleeping with, are just a testament of how like the far-reaching implications of homophobia and the anti-rights movement. Like, the anti-rights movement has been so strong and strategic and planned out and so well resourced, so much money going around, so much consistency. I guess for us, sometimes within our movements, like, you accomplish something and maybe you get a little bit comfortable, or maybe we also just don't have that much money. We actually don't, because we only have like 1% of the funding. But anyway, I'm going on a tangent. So yeah, that's what's been going on in African feminist and queer news, and also globally. I didn't really mention everything. I did see a couple of other headlines, but I just thought to talk about the things that I had been thinking about most. And I guess we can move on to the podcast and me. Let me tell you guys, in my personal life, I am going through a lot, to be honest. Like, I think everything is good, and you know, I'm happy, and I'm happy professionally, I'm happy in my relationship, I'm happy in my friendships, though I think I've been doing some shedding. I think over the last, I'm now just gonna like make it 2-3 years. I know I've been making podcast episodes about friendships and like talking about, oh, in the last year, then I'll make one back in the last 2 years, and now I'm making it, it's like in the last 3 years. Yeah, this shit don't stop. It's been like constant change, and like I'm like a newly single bitch, like dating, and like none of it is working out. Like, people will be like, oh my god, like I can't seem to find someone, like I can't seem to find, and I'm just like, I can't seem to find like new friends. Like, and this is obviously not to take away from the new friends that I do have. If you're listening to this, I love you guys. But I'm someone who was kind of starting on a clean slate for a while, and I do have, you know, people that I know I can talk to, people I can reach out to, and I love them so much. I love them so much. But something that happened was like relocating again and coming back to Zim and being like, oh, like I'm gonna like make new friends, and I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that. And recently, I think like one of those people who had become like very close to me, like we are no longer friends, you guys. And it's been so sobering, because I've just been at a point where I've been making friends and like making friends for life, and you just wake up and you're like, oh my god, like this is over with this person, and I have to go with that flow. But it's also like there's also always so much of that like self-question, like, oh, is this my fault? Like, am I the one who's like this? Am I the one who's like that? Am I the one who's like this? But, you know, I think of all of the, you know, friendship breakups maybe that I've had, this has maybe been the nicest one of just like transparency and honesty, and just realizing that we can't really meet each other where we need each other. And for that reason, you know, just taking a step back. So, you know, I love her. She's amazing. Maybe she'll come on the podcast again one day and we'll talk about it, because she has been on the podcast. But yeah, like, she's awesome. And I'm so appreciative to that, like, even at the end of a friendship, like, I was treated so gently and just with so much kindness and care. And I really love that. I love that a lot. And maybe one day we'll be like friends again, but who knows? So, and outside of that, just like also within my other friendships, like having difficult conversations and confronting like some of the things that impact us and affect us, and even the way that we relate to each other, it's just been so heavy. And I think that's been some of that retrograde of just like revisiting and reassessing and revitalizing. And yeah, all in all, like I think it'll be okay. I think something that is saving me, though I'm still unlearning it to an extent, is like competing in the nonchalant Olympics. Like, I don't want to be in the Olympics anymore. Like, the gold medal for that is like the biggest L you could ever get. Like, and I think for like a lot of my 20s, like I was heavy in the nonchalant Olympics. And now, like, just being able to say, like, I care about this, and this has hurt my feelings, and I'm not comfortable with this because it hurts me, and I'm hurt because, you know, I love you and I care about you, and this is how you've made me feel. I think it's so freeing. Sitting with feelings is already so difficult, so imagine freeing them and just never letting them out. I cannot relate. Anyway, that is enough of my personal life. If you're still listening to this, now you know something about me that maybe you didn't know when this episode started. I don't really know if that matters, because again, this was just a space where we discourse and find ourselves. And so maybe someone is listening to this also going through the same thing, relating, thinking they've gone through it in the past or whatever, and maybe that's helpful. if it is, you know, let me know. You know where to find me. If not, then damn, I'm not sorry. That's why I started this podcast. The fuck? Like, what is the point of having a podcast if I can't come here and tell you guys what the fuck is going on? Anyway, let's move on. Let's move on to some work stuff. So I am going to be working on a documentary soon. Yay! Another documentary. And this one is going to be on abortion. And again, abortion storytelling. So I'm actually looking for some abortion seekers out there and some abortion providers who would love to be in this documentary. If you guys know anyone, you know, give them a shout out, tell them to reach out to me. This is going to be happening over the next month. It is really just a state of reproductive injustice story. Just want to show the things that people are going through, the things that they see, what's making it so difficult to access abortion, what it's like when you access abortion in those circumstances. And yeah, and also for those of you who haven't seen, I am hiring a programs officer. Yeah, so this is going to be someone who's in charge of all of the implementation, reporting to me directly for Feminist Voices Zimbabwe. We're going to be doing a lot of cool stuff as the year comes to an end, and even going into 2024. LGBTQIA plus security, SRHR, sexual pleasure, sexual rights, that's the stuff we're going to be working on. More storytelling, more abortion storytelling, more storytelling, more storytelling, more storytelling, more storytelling. So yeah, like, if you're interested in that, go over to www.feministvoicesinbubble.com, and you'll see on the stories tab, like, our recent article is about the program's office post. And if you go on the work with us tab, you will see the application. And yeah, so that's some of the stuff that I have going on. I have so many exciting episodes coming for you guys, thanks to you guys, and submitting your voice notes and submitting your stories. And it's just so exciting and fun, like, even compiling them, listening back to them is just so much fun. Like, oh guys, we are the same. Like, we are so different, but we are more or less experiencing a world that throws the same shit at us, and that's why I love being here. So anyway, thank you for being here for this long. This has been a long solo episode. I love you guys. Embrace change this blue moon, and be the best that you can be. You are amazing. There is no lack in your future. You are beautiful. You are loved. You are valued. And yeah, have an amazing week. I will see you again for the next episode soon. Sunday? I don't want to commit to a day anymore because, you know, we all know how that went in season 3. But anyway, yeah. I will catch you guys next time, and that's a wrap on this episode.